Sports Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Happy holidays and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us once again for a look at the weekend European club football highlights is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Manchester City came from behind to beat Leicester City 3-1 and shortened the gap on the second-placed Foxes to 1 point. Jamie Vardy's cheeky finish gave the visitors the lead, but goals from Algeria's Benjamin Riyad Mahrez, Ilkay Gundogan, and Gabriel Jesus sealed a much-needed win for Pep.
We're making incredible performance in all senses, without the ball, with the ball, and defending incredible high. We were almost in a high level, so I'm very pleased and say thank you so much to the players to follow me and follow us to do what we have to do and try to play today to convince the players that this is a team we want to be. It doesn't matter if we win or lose, but that we want to be. And today against the team like less goals conceded, we score 3 goals and we have to score much, much more. That means a lot for the quality and the mentality for the team.
Manchester United's push for the top four in the Premier League also suffered a huge blow as they were beaten 2-0 by Watford at Vicarage Road. Senegalese winger Ismail Assar opened the scoring following a poor mistake from David De Gea as Troy Deeney made it 2 within a matter of minutes after Aaron Wan-Bissaka gave away a poor penalty on a dreadful day for Laguna Solskjaer's men. A first half brace from Willian was enough for Chelsea to beat Tottenham Hotspur 2-0 in a game that was marred by allegations that Chelsea defender Antonio Rudiger was the target of racist abuse. Announcement over the stadium public address system midway through the second half warned fans against racist behavior after the German footballer of Sierra Leonean descent had reported hearing abusive chants. Tottenham later promised to take the strongest action over the alleged abuse. Brazilian striker Roberto Firmino scored on a crafty extra-time strike to lift Liverpool to a dramatic 1-0 win against Flamengo in the Club World Cup final that was played at the Khalifa International Stadium in Doha, Qatar. Liverpool became only the second English side after Manchester United to triumph for the International Annual Club Tournament, a title that had eluded them in 1981, 1984, and 2005.
Prince, you mentioned Man City's Algerian danger man Riyad Mahrez scoring a big goal over the weekend. I understand Mahrez and the dynamic Liverpool duo of Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah are the nominees for the 2019 African Footballer of the Year Award.
Yeah, the three Premier League stars have been named as the three candidates for this year's African Footballer of the Year Award, which has belonged to Egypt international Mo Salah for the past 2 years.
Le meilleur joueur de l'année 2018, Mohamed Salah.
Mohamed Salah, African Player of the Year.
Mohamed Salah.
Senegal talisman Sadio Mane will actually be the favourite for the award ahead of his Egyptian clubmate after Liverpool won the UEFA Champions League. However, he actually faces stiff opposition from Riyad Mahrez, who won the English Premier League with Manchester City and captained Algeria to the CAF African Cup of Nations title in mid-year. Sonny, should Salah once more be named as Africa's best player, he'll actually join a select group of players to win the award on 3 or more occasions. Cameroonian soccer legend Samuel Eto'o and former Ivorian enforcer Yaya Toure are the only men to have lifted the prize 4 times, while Liberian president George Weah, the legendary Ghanaian footballer Bedi Pele, triumphed on 3 occasions. The winner will be announced on January 7th in Egypt.
Prince, those African football awards in Egypt should definitely be exciting. Prince, let's go to France, where PSG star Kylian Mbappe had a big birthday celebration. Tell our VOA football fans about that.
French star of Cameroonian descent celebrated turning 21 with a silvery-looking haircut and two more clinical finishes as league leaders Paris Saint-Germain beat struggling Amiens 4-1. Mbappe has been involved in 15 goals in his last 12 league games, and his partnership with Brazil star Neymar continued to flourish. French footballer of Moroccan descent Sofiane Alakoche, Dario Benedetto and Dimitri Payet all recorded their names on the scoresheet in Marseille's 3-1 win over Nîmes, while Nigerian international Victor Osimhen grabbed his 10th league goal of the season for Lille, who were trounced 5-1 away at Monaco. Monaco came out guns blazing and scored 5 goals through French striker of Tunisian descent Ben Yedder, who scored a brace. Spanish-born Senegalese footballer Keita Balde, Portuguese footballer of Cape Verde descent Gelson Martins, and Camille Glick all scored a goal each. Lille are currently occupying 4th position on the French league standings with 31 points after 19 games.
Prince, let's go to Italy now. Inter Milan's Romelu Lukaku showed a touch of class with yet another impressive performance.
Pure masterclass, Sonny. The 26-year-old Belgian striker of Congolese descent scored twice to lead Inter Milan to a comfortable 4-0 win over lowly Genoa as the Nerazzurri rejoined Juventus at the top of Serie A. Lazio also beat Juventus 3-1 in Saudi Arabia, their second win over the Turin Giants in little more than 2 weeks, to win the Italian Super Cup, which is the annual meeting between the Coppa Italia winners and Serie A champions. And in Spain, Real Madrid were left to rue a series of near misses as they stumbled to a 0-0 home draw with Athletic Bilbao, dropping 2 points adrift off Barcelona, who saw Alaves 4-1 at the Camp Nou. Antoine Griezmann scored the opener, and then Arturo Vidal blasted in a second as Lionel Messi added another to score his 50th goal of 2019. Luis Suarez then sealed the victory as Barcelona went 2 points clear of Real Madrid at the top of La Liga. Atletico Madrid also moved back into the top four with a hard-fought 2-1 victory at Real Betis. Sonny, I want to take this precious opportunity to wish our VOA listeners a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'm Prince Nestor on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have a package of African football news for us.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. CAF President Ahmed Ahmed and President of the Qatar Football Association, Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa bin Ahmed Al Thani, signed an agreement on Sunday that will see the CAF Super Cup take place on the 14th of February 2020 in Doha, Qatar's capital. The Super Cup match to be played on February 14th will see Osporas Sportif de Tunis, winners of the 2018-2019 CAF Champions League, take on Zamalek, winners of the 2018-2019 CAF Confederations Cup. Cup. Next year's competition marks the second time in a row that Doha will host the CAF Super Cup within the framework of cooperation agreement between CAF and the QFA. And now to some bit of history, as Victoria Conte has made history in Sierra Leone as she becomes the first woman to coach a top-tier men's team. Miss Conte signed a two-year contract to manage East End Tigers, who play in the Sierra Leone Premier League. Conte becomes the second female coach on the continent to coach a top flight after Ethiopian Meseret Mani's stint with Dire Dawa in the late 2015. However, she will be hoping to follow in the footsteps of Chang Yun-Ting, who guided Eastern to win the Hong Kong Premier League title in April 2016. And now to North Africa, where Tunisia will not participate in the 2020 African Nations Championship billed for Cameroon owing to their crowded domestic fixture schedule. The North Africans, who won the biannual competition in 2011, were one of the 16 teams expected to feature, but will now see their place taken by Libya, who they defeated in the final round of qualifying. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
More football news now. Joining us with reaction to Liverpool lifting the FIFA Club World Cup trophy is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. For the first time in the 127-year history, Liverpool are world champions. Ahead of their final match against Flamengo, manager Jurgen Klopp said winning the World Cup title would be like landing on the moon. Well, after the match, Klopp appeared to still be on planet Earth and a bit speechless.
In moments like this, we had some fun few moments in the past that when I really struggled finding the right words in not my native language for describing my respect for the boys, how they do it. It's incredible. It was an incredible performance, an incredibly difficult game against a good opponent. But we did so many good things, unbelievable, so many good football moments. Everybody was, for different reasons, on the edge pretty much. But I saw so many sensational good performances.
Good performances in what was a final match nail-biter. The two sides were 0-0 in regulation and the game was forced into extra time. I think it's safe to call Brazilian rising star Roberto Firmino the king of late goals in Qatar. In both the tournament's semifinal and final, Firmino delivered the late goals that decided the match. Liverpool's 1-0 victory was thanks to Firmino's goal in the 100th minute, and he spoke to reporters after being crowned the new world champion.
Obrigado.
Firmino congratulated Flamengo on winning the Brazilian championship and gave his respects to the Brazilian side for giving the Reds a tough fight. He goes on to say he was happy to help his team and to make a mark at the World Tournament. He said it's what the team wanted and the win was well deserved. Jurgen Klopp said that while the entire team deserves to be recognized for their performances throughout the season, Firmino's standout goals should make his home country proud.
Divock Origi, for example, nobody's talking about him, scored incredibly important goals. Selena Shakiri scored last year incredibly important goals or set them up. Mo Salah scores for us incredible number of goals, all of them very important, but not always. And then Sadio is stepping up and scores incredibly important goals. And now here, we needed obviously Bobby's goals. And here they are, and I couldn't be more happy for him that he could score that goal, because before the game we spoke a lot what this competition means to Brazil, to South American people, or especially Brazilian people, and we have two Brazilians, so, and he's one of them, and it means the world to him, and it helped us a lot. And on top of that, it was a sensational goal. Completely calm.
Well, Flamengo fans probably weren't completely calm when Firmino scored in extra time. It's been reported that emotions were high in Rio de Janeiro, with some fans weeping with sadness. But others were filled with pride that the Brazilian champions made it to the final round of the Club World Cup tournament. And Flamengo coach Jorge Jesus said he's proud his side was good enough to go toe-to-toe with the strongest club in Europe. Jesus says his side went attack for attack against their opponents without any problems, and that in the finals, Flamengo showed they are a great team. Meanwhile, the Reds are back in the UK with the Club World Cup trophy in hand, and they will soon be presented with the gold FIFA Champions badge. According to FIFA guidelines, the Liverpool first team can wear the prestigious logo up to and including the final of the next edition of the tournament. UEFA says they are not permitted to wear the badge in the Premier League, so you will not see the shiny gold logo in their upcoming match against Leicester City, but you will see it in Champions League matches for the next two seasons. Congratulations to world champions Liverpool! And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to men's tennis, the inaugural ATP Cup team tournament will be held in Australia from January 3rd to January 12th. The ATP Cup will be staged in three Australian cities, Brisbane, Perth, and Sydney. Now, most of the men's players will be using the team competition to warm up for the Australian Open in Melbourne. Craig Gabriel caught up with the captain of the British team in London. Here's Craig.
With Tim Henman for ATP Cup and Tennis Australia. Tim Henman, you're going to be captain of the Great Britain team. Tell me how excited you are about that and how it came about.
I'm very excited about it, and it really came about through Andy Murray. The format in the ATP Cup is the number one player can choose the captain, and about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, he sort of messaged me and said, looking for a captain, how about it? And it really wasn't something that had been on my radar, but I was aware of the event, and the more I thought about it, the more I realised it would be a lot of fun to lead the team, and I think he, you know, had a big part in my decision. I've known Andy a long time. I've always had a very good relationship with him, knowing what he's done not only for British tennis but world tennis. I felt like it could be a really exciting event to be involved with.
Tell me how excited you are about this, because it's your first time as being captain of a Great Britain tennis team.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's new territory for me, but I've played in team events a lot over the years and worked under a lot of different captains, I'm excited about a new role, if you like. I think the event in itself is very exciting to have in three different cities, 24 teams. You've got 9 of the top 10. 26 of the top 30 playing. It's the ideal scenario, I think, early on in the year for the players to get matches in a great competition, and it obviously leads in extremely well to the Australian Open.
Would you have liked to have seen an event like the ATP Cup in your playing days?
Well, I mean, we had something similar with the World Team Cup, which was the week before the French. I didn't always like to play the week before a Grand Slam, but I did play in that a few times, and it was fun. I think we are so used to being individuals, so to be part of a team environment. I played in three Olympic Games, and I always enjoyed that. So this has similarities, and I think we're all really looking forward to it.
The importance of having Andy Murray back on court, just talk about that.
I think, the story of Andy Murray coming back from the hip resurfacing is something a lot bigger than tennis. There are lots of people who have had new hips, and it's sort of had a massively positive impact on their lives, but there are not too many people at 32 who are trying to play professional sport. And to reflect on him in January in Melbourne in tears in the press conference, thinking that his career is probably over, to then 9 months later winning a main tour event in Antwerp is just an inspirational story. And I think it can help so many other people, not just Andy.
About yourself, when you left playing, you pretty much stayed put. You didn't do much TV or travel or anything. Mm. It's changed now. As your wife Lucy said, time for you to get out of the house now. The girls saying, get out of the house, Dad.
I think it's a little bit easier when your children are a little bit older. My three girls are 17, nearly 15 and 12. So to be away a little bit is more straightforward. But for me, my involvement when I stopped playing tennis is always centered around Wimbledon, on the tournament board there for the last 11 years. The television work I've done has just really been around the BBC at Wimbledon and the World Tour Finals. But now doing a little bit more here with Prime Video. I was at the US Open for the first time in 12 years. I was at the French Open this year, and I've enjoyed that. And I think it's important with my role at Wimbledon to be around the game, both men and women, to understand what's going on. And this is a slightly different element. But again, I'm excited to be part of a huge tournament. And the fact that the sun will be shining in Sydney is no bad thing either.
I'll get to that in a second. But what do you think it's going to feel like for you when you see some of your contemporaries as national captains as well during the ATP Cup?
Yeah, I think that adds to the appeal and the sort of general rivalry as a whole. There'll be, I would have thought, some players playing in the event that I competed against. There'll certainly be a lot of captains that I competed against. And that just makes it a very exciting format. So, really looking forward to it.
All right, let's just get to these cities now. And Great Britain's going to be based out of Sydney. You had happy hunting grounds in Sydney at the old White City Stadium. How long has it been since you've been back to Sydney and back to Australia?
So I was back at the Australian Open in 2017 for the Australian Open. Sydney, I would have thought, I was there for the Olympics. I think I probably played Sydney one time after that. So it's going to be a good 17, 18, 19 years. For me, it was a no lose situation. I've never been to Perth or Brisbane, so I would have been delighted to visit a new city. Sydney was where I won my first title in 1997. So a lot of great memories. And I'm a huge fan of Australia. I love the Australian summer. It's probably the one trip that I really missed when I retired from professional tennis. I love the people. I love the way that they embrace sport, the outdoor lifestyle, the weather. It certainly ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Well, we look forward to welcoming you back. Tim Hemman, thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the ATP Cup and your new role as captain.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Craig Gabriel, for that interview with Tim Hemman, the captain of the British team at next month's inaugural ATP Cup tennis tournament in Australia. Craig and Tim spoke with each other in London. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice video involving Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Milwaukee Bucks basketball star. Giannis is shown giving a pair of his sneakers to a young Bucks fan who is overcome with emotion after that holiday treat from Giannis. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you get a Sunny Side of Sports salute. And that wraps up the December 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Nana Kunedu Ajeman Rawlings, the former First Lady of Ghana, reflects on the importance of empowering others and using public office to serve Ghanaian citizens. Nana Kunedu Ajeman Rawlings on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batty, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 2012, NASA's Kepler spacecraft discovered three odd exoplanets circling a 500 million-year-old star some 2,400 light-years away. 2 years later, scientists found that the planets seemed to have a lower density than any planet in the solar system, and that they appeared to be light, fluffy, and resembled cotton candy, the favorite circus treat. A team of scientists led by researchers at the University of Colorado Boulder recently used the Hubble Space Telescope to confirm these earlier findings and find that the planets in the Kepler-51 star system represent a new class of exoplanets nicknamed superpuffs. According to NASA, although they each have a mass that's no more than several times that of Earth, because of their atmospheres of hydrogen and helium are so bloated, they are nearly the size of Jupiter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Oh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs, such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.